Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
She wants Mink.
We are live with the Better on Draft podcast, episode number 86. That's 86. Right, 86. We don't have our sports guys here to tell us what famous number 86 player is.
So, yeah, no, I don't have any off the top of my head. I'm going to have to look one up.
So my name is Ken. We have a very light audience. Dan is back in Arizona. Nick is at the DCFC game, and Matt Bush is somewhere. We don't know where, but he is somewhere.
Somewhere, he could not
make it here. With that in mind, we still got a great show for you tonight. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, you know, just getting ready to enjoy a nice another Friday. I'm sitting here with decided to make a quick stop over to Sellerman's and got myself a crowler of the coffee cider.
How much was that, by the way?
Well, that was a little more expensive than I thought it was going to be.
I'm guessing 30.
I showed up with the growler and, you know, was just walking in. It's the first time I've ever even been in there.
Really?
And yes. First time I've been in there. You walk in and it's like this, you just walk into this, like this, you know, double sized retail area.
Well, it used to be a lumber yard.
Ah, okay. And then you've got, you know, the wood paneling everywhere. You got
the big screen. The paneling from.
And then you walk in and pretty much it was death metal. I mean, it wasn't anything that I actually recognized, unfortunately.
It's such a weird culture when you walk in there because it's not always death metal. Like it's a lot more industrial than anything. It's just not your standard brewery, meadery, cidery, whatever you want to call it.
No. It was weird. It was flipping back and forth because then it was like some death metal and then all of a sudden it switched to country. And then it was like country pop, and then it was death metal again. It was,
yeah, they need to they definitely need some form of DJ to look at the BPMs and look at everything because it doesn't flow very well.
Right, but I went in there with the growler, and I'm like, okay, do you do growler fills? Like, sure. Nah, 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 nah. And it's like you can get either, you know, the meads or the ciders, none of the beers, and the growler fill would have been 38. And I said, yeah, how much is the crowler? And they said, well, the crowler's 20. I said, well.
Oh, that ain't bad.
That ain't bad. All right. I'd
for, what's that? 32 ounces, right?
32 ounces.
So,
yeah.
I mean, two 16-ounce pours of that coffee cider to $10 a piece, I'd pay that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's less than $1 an ounce, which I think is a fair price for that. A lot of their drinks, $1 an ounce is a pretty fair price.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was no doubt. I mean, if I had gotten the growler, it would not have made it through tonight anyway, even if it was just me, because the stuff is really, really good.
Oh, I would have. Yeah. We would have passed. Even though the other two people in this room didn't seem to like it as much as I did, I would definitely. Well, I can't say too much because our guest, which we'll bring in just a minute, did bring me some of my favorite beer ever, which I'll talk about before I bring him on. But Angela, what's going on?
Hello.
How are you?
Pretty good.
You're still here.
I am. Feels good to be back.
No more weddings? Or do we have a lot
no,
more?
Oh, no. I have a wedding next week.
Next week?
Graduation parties?
Graduation party. Well, I mean, it's not like high school when you had like four graduation parties Friday, Saturday, and Sunday each, and then...
Yeah, I don't know if it was appropriate for me to throw myself a graduation party.
Did you say bachelorette party? Something else you want to tell us?
Huh?
But, you know, whatever.
All right. What are you drinking over there?
Let's see.
She doesn't know.
Something from Ohio from my cousin. Gamma Bomb IPA.
Gamma Bomb IPA.
Your favorite.
Oh, of course.
Dayton, Ohio.
I love IPAs and I love
Home
Ohio.
Of the Flyers.
Like, those are my two favorite things in the world. Like, if you put Ohio IPAs and Sidney Crosby all in the same room, it would just be the greatest thing ever. Actually, no, I hate Marian Hossa more than I hate Sidney Crosby. Crosby sucks, but Hossa's just an ass.
He's a mercenary.
I was about to say, can I say that? And then I realized I run the damn show, so of course I could say it. So I am drinking a beer from our guest who is joining us all the way from, well, Royal Oak, but from the great state of Ohio, Great Lakes Brewing Co. I'm drinking a Holy Moses White Ale. You guys didn't bottle this year, did you? Or is this from a secret stash of bottles that you...
It made a brief bottle appearance in our fridge filler variety packs.
Okay.
So for about a month, it was out.
Okay. So obviously I missed it when that happened.
It was a real quick in and out.
Was it in Michigan at all, or did it just...
Okay. No, it was here, yeah.
That would have bought a lot just to get it. But why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Adam. I'm the Eastern Michigan rep for Great Lakes Brewing.
So what is Eastern Michigan? Like, is it 69 and east, or...?
I go up into the thumb, down to the border, over to Ann Arbor, Dexter area, and then up to Midland, Bay City.
Okay, so does the west carry, like, Charlevoix and Traverse City? Okay.
Yeah, west-north gets kind of combined.
Ouch, that sucks.
That's my boss. He's fine.
I mean, it's really the same good, drive whether you're coming from like 75 or like Grand Rapids to get up to the UP anyways. Yeah. That drive's pretty much the same. So how long have you been with Great Lakes?
Almost a year to the day.
Almost a year to the day. Wow, so you were like brand fresh new when we met you at the Polar Beers Festival.
Yep, I'm green, wet behind the ears.
So you worked in the beer industry before getting to Great Lakes?
Yep, I've kind of done it all. I started in beer in Chicago. I worked for a couple different stores there, got into the business, and then went to distribution, and then I'm here.
How'd you get to Michigan then?
So I grew up in Ann Arbor originally.
Okay.
And then I defected, went to Michigan State.
Go green.
Because I'm an adult, go white.
Thank you.
And I moved to Chicago after I graduated. And I sort of always wanted to work in beer. And couldn't really convince anyone that was a real thing to do. I'm like, I'm gonna go work in beer. Like, that's not a thing. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure it's a thing. So actually, I went back to school. I have 2 degrees that I don't use. And yes, got a job at a beer store in Chicago and went from there.
So that's 2, 3, 4. Do you have a degree?
2 of them.
Do you use them?
Yes.
Okay, so at least somebody here uses their degrees. You're trying to use your degree. You're working on it. If anybody's hiring for marketing. Just kidding. So we're not. So so you've been with Great Lakes for over a year. How did you find Great Lakes? Did you just apply? Were you like machine gun sending out resumes to any brewery that wanted to hire?
I had started. Yeah, I was with a distributor for a while. And was it
local to Michigan, or was it
I worked was out of Romulus, and was sort of looking to get on the supplier side. Just was sending out probably to a couple of breweries here and there, and then I was actually friends with the guy that used to have my job, and when he was leaving, he's like, hey, you should apply. So
it seems like that's what happens in the beer industry here, is like everyone's friends with everyone and everyone gets everyone a job.
It's very incestuous.
That's the dictionary.com word of the day right there.
It's everyone just sort of shuffled. There's really only like 9 people that work in beer, and we just kind of just trade off.
Yeah, we've interviewed all of them multiple times.
There you go.
Technically, we've had Adam here, New Belgium when New Belgium was on, from Mountain Town.
I'll see you guys in a few weeks.
We'll have you on for...
just jumping from place to place.
We'll have you on for Sam Adams. How's that?
Yeah, perfect. Hey, we'll see where I go.
We kind of need that one.
Why not?
So what does your job entail? Like, obviously, you're sales, right?
Yep.
So you go to beer stores, beer bars.
Yep. I do it all on off-premise. I do a lot of events. I'm at festivals. Just got back from World Expo of Beer.
What did you think of the World Expo of Beer? We covered it, both the judging and the event itself. Rob and I both went to the event.
It was fun. It was that was my first time there. I was surprised at how big it was, just because I'd never done it. But it was good. It was super well run. Turned into kind of a drunk fest by the end of Saturday, but it's beer.
I think it's such a weird – the Expo of Beer is a lot different than a lot of beer fests. Like, we've been to the Polar Beers. Have you been to the local Brewers Guild festivals?
Yeah. So I go to – I'm out of state, so I don't get to go to all the super cool ones.
You don't get to attend them in the back, but you can attend them as a fan.
Yeah.
So, like, for World Expo, what I did – it was such a huge venue – You know, because you have the tent, and then you had the, like, almost like a indoor
the pavilion.
Like
the yeah, warehouse, or, yeah, pavilion. That yeah. works better.
So all I would do is I would get a beer, and then I would just start walking in a circle until I was out of beer. And then wherever I stopped, that's where I got my next beer.
It's a good way to do it.
Well, yeah. I've had so many beers to the point where I tried everything I wanted, like, in the first half hour. And after that, I'm like, eh, you know, it's one of those where I'm looking for styles, looking for whatever I can find, you know, and trying to meet people, talk to people, see all, you know, all the people that I know. Like, obviously, sure. we have friends within the industry, like Chris Reynolds over at Latitude 42. We went and said hi. We saw Kalen over at Ellison. So it's such a weird thing to do, whereas if you go to, like, did you go to the Spring Festival at Royal Oak?
No, I do most of the Royal Oak Fest. I forget. I had something else going on, so I wasn't at Spring.
So the Royal Oak Festival is probably one of my favorites in comparison to the rest of these because it's so laid back.
Yeah.
Like, there's no – like, World Expo, you have your snobs. If you go to Brewers Guild Festivals, Jesus Christ, you have your snobs who are waiting in line for their beer that releases in an hour. And then you have, like, the Polar Beers Festival, which is the one we went to the Royal Oak. Mm-hmm. And that was – it was just laid back. It was relaxing. Most of the beers I've had before, so it wasn't like I was – but the atmosphere was great. Plus the little Hammerschlagen thing. Right. Have you ever played that before?
No.
Have you guys ever done that
no.
before?
What are you talking about?
So it's this nail that gets put into this giant stump, but then you have to hit it with the opposite side of a hammer. So like the so and you only can use one hand, so you have to like aim it and like it's all wrist or all arm trying to figure it out.
Oh,
my cousins and I have been playing that for years, and my friends used to think we were hillbillies because of it. And so I'm glad that it's getting around.
No, it was a lot of fun. We had it. It's actually there's a video on Better on Draft's Facebook of me and Dan playing with two other people.
Oh, that's what that was.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you go behind the back and hit it?
I don't think I could do it. Like I had struggle enough just hitting it, just hitting it normally. There's no trick shots yeah. here.
He's not hillbilly enough.
Get your, no, get not hillbilly. And we'll invite you to the cousin get together.
Oh, okay. Okay. Am I just going to be the long lost cousin?
There's so many of us.
Third cousin, twice removed.
I don't think anyone right. would question it.
Be like, hey guys, what's going on? Yeah. Hey, I'm Uncle Morty's kid.
Yeah. It's cousin Ken.
Cousin Ken.
Yeah.
What's going on, guys?
She did a little bit of a spit take. She may actually have an Uncle Morty.
Do you have an Uncle Morty? Because
No.
I don't think she does if she did.
She's not going to admit it.
No.
I come from a large Catholic family, so there's always new family members coming around.
Me too. Italian Catholic.
We're
Roman. Speaking of which, isn't that – well, I don't know if your wife was Catholic, but I know your wife's Italian, and therefore she has a big family.
She was Catholic, yes.
And has a big family.
She has a huge family. Oh, my God.
I could just see the pews, like Rob's side, there's maybe 100 people. Dina's side, there's 550 into the bag. And then, of course, you know, when you're planning your wedding – are you married?
Yes.
So when you're planning your wedding and you have to – your parents call up and they're like, you have to invite Aunt Veronica and Uncle Jeff because you got invited to their niece's wedding 16 years ago. Like, I remember that when
awful.
I was going through. But when you deal with Italian people,
yeah.
you got invited to everyone's wedding.
Yes.
So I had – my cousin married an Italian. He and she were both Italian. Their invite list was 1,300.
Jeez.
And the wedding Damn. Was 850, I believe.
No, that's
– Damn.
No.
At least we cut it down. I mean, at the end of the day, I think we had something like 250. But – Damn, no. No. I mean
you just had your bachelorette party, right?
30 closest friends.
30 closest friends.
Don't get me wrong, though. I mean, 850 would fit in Shed 3 of Eastern Market pretty well.
We did it at the Andiamo's, I think, in Warren. Is that the one over on, like by the train tracks, by Van Dyke?
Not familiar with that one.
Yeah, it's where they have, like, concert venues, too. Like, I remember Andrew Dice Clay was performing there once.
Oh, so that's the one. That always confused
Who
me.
Who wouldn't remember that?
I would always get confused when people were like, such and such, you know, former big star is you know, going to be showing up on stage at Andiamo's. I'm like, which fucking Andiamo's are you going to? I'm like, I only know two. There's the one in Detroit. There's the one in Livonia.
Yeah, that's where they do, like, the fake the wedding thing. God, I want to say Romeo and Michelle, but that's the complete wrong group of people. it's like Tony and Tina get married or something like that, where they have like the fake wedding that you participate in,
oh,
and there's
goodness.
There's actors and actresses that are roaming around the entire wedding participating with you.
How often does this happen?
I have no idea.
I just
remember you're supposed to bring a box wrapped, but nothing inside. Like you're bringing a gift for the the family. It's not like a murder mystery or anything. It's just an event, as if you went to a wedding.
That does sound like some rather interesting date night stuff.
It's probably cheaper than a real wedding, though. I mean, you got to think of how much money you're spending giving to the bride and the groom, depending on how friendly you are with them,
right.
Or just not give them any money at all.
So it's just a wedding party, but with no wedding?
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a wedding party, and the bride and the groom are actor and actress. Like,
do they get fake crashers?
Like, I don't know.
Just like,
I've never been to it.
This fake wedding. Here we come.
I feel like this might need to be like a Better on Draft outing. Where
I'm in. Call me up. I'm ready.
I think the only downfall is there's no open bar, so you have to.
Then what's the point?
No, I'm with you.
Exactly.
No. Wait, first of all, you guys say that. Have you guys ever been to a BYOB wedding?
No.
I've been to a BYOB wedding where you bring your own booze.
I mean, that's very thrifty.
Because they weren't supplying it.
But why?
Was it advertised that you could bring your own?
Yes.
That you should?
Yes. It was encouraged because they weren't going to have any.
That's better than – I've been to cash weddings, and I'm like, I'd rather
cash
bring
bar,
my
bring
own.
Your own. Yeah. So it's cheaper.
I've never
cheaper.
Been to either one of those.
Never been to a cash wedding before? Oh, man. What? See – you know you're at a cash wedding when everyone's outside drinking from the bottle, too. Like, I've been to enough cash weddings to where I know to go outside to where all the smokers are, and you know that there's a pint of, you know, Maker's Mark or a pint of Jack Daniels just making its way around.
Just going to run to the car real quick.
The last couple weddings I've been to have actually had really good craft beer. My best friend just got married 2 weeks ago, and he had 2 kegs from Brown Iron, so I was pretty happy about that.
Oh, that's Brown Iron, the brewery, not Brown.
Yeah.
You didn't just buy them from Brown Iron.
Nope, Brown Iron.
And where's Brown Iron located at?
Just north of 26 Mile on Van Dyke.
There you go. You could play Quizzo every Wednesday night, I believe, there.
Tuesday
night.
Love when you do
that. Tap Takeovers on Wednesday.
Tap Takeover every Wednesday.
Yeah.
So what's like this upcoming week's Tap Takeover?
New Belgium.
When are you going to get Great Lakes Brewing over there?
We'll talk about it.
There you go.
We had a communication issue.
Making friends over here now.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Uh-oh.
Look at that.
We're fine. No, we're cool. We're good.
I don't know what's going on. I'm just here for the good time.
No, it was like, I'll let you know, and then neither one of us.
No.
Well, they haven't let you know yet.
Yeah, I'm just waiting. Right. I'm just waiting. Right. I have so many good beers that we can drink.
So check it out, Brown Iron Brew House, north of 26 Mile, Van Dyke Road, one of our great sponsors, Tap Takeovers every Wednesday. Can we announce the big one yet, even if we don't announce the beers that are in it? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, we try to do big ones, but I mean, this one's going to be good, big.
Well,
Odd
what
Side
is it?
Ales.
Odd Side Ales. There you go.
June 21st.
It's going to be like
go.
Japan.
Mark it on your calendars. What time does like the Tap Takeover happen? Is it like in the morning, like the start of the day?
Typically,
or?
All of our beers are always on tap at 11 a.m., but the rep comes at 6 p.m., and they give away whatever kind of fun stuff they have.
So if you want to go annoy Wes.
Yes.
You show up at 6 o'clock at Brown Iron Brew House on June. Wow. Three tries.
January?
June 21st?
Yep. 6 o'clock.
6 You'll o'clock.
Yeah, January will be Great Lakes. We'll be there.
January 21st, Great Lakes.
Come hang out.
I can just see you showing up. What? We said it
on
the podcast.
Yeah. Is that not real?
So what kind of beers do you – what kind of beers do you like?
I'm pretty equal opportunity, honestly. Yeah, there's not a lot I don't like.
What about like a favorite beer or your go-to beer?
So the first two beers I ever loved were Ed Fitz, which is great because I saw it, and Bell's Two Hearted. So when I was 19, somebody handed me those.
You liked Two Hearted
in Canada.
Right away?
In Canada.
In Canada.
When you were 19.
Yeah.
In Canada.
And somebody gave me those, and I was like, guys, these are really good. I'm like, yeah, we know. I was like, no, you don't get it. I'm like, these are really – I'm like, yeah, you're weird. Okay.
I know. Here's a six-pack, and look what I bought with the same amount of money, a 30-rack.
Yeah. And, now here I am, whatever, however many years later I get to
– What were you doing for work at 19 in East Lansing?
What was I doing at 19 in East Lansing?
I don't know.
Not much.
Not much.
No.
Not even going to class.
Well, yeah. A little bit of that.
Hanging out on MAC.
I lived at Linden and MAC for a while.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Look at that. I'm stalking you.
Yeah. All right. Goodness.
The show's weird.
We know more about the guests than you think we do.
Yikes. All right.
So what is your degree in then, since you said you don't use it?
So my first degree is in telecommunications.
Okay.
I was going to be a film guy. And I liked it, but it's really hard to do things with.
Okay.
And then I started homebrewing. And like every home brewer, I was like, I'm going to open a brewery.
And you didn't.
And I didn't, which I'm
– like most home
Which brewers. I'm thankful for. although, to be fair, in Chicago, if I would have – it was a buddy and I who were brewing together. And I think if we would have done it when we had the idea, we could have, you know, by the next half acre.
Started on Malt Row with all the other breweries
over
there.
Yeah, that's, right. And that's where
Is
I live.
Ravenwood or Ravenswood?
Ravenswood, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's Beguile and Spiteful and Metropolitan and Dovetail.
I was going to say, didn't get to Spiteful.
You can't visit there. There's no
place. Oh, okay.
Place.
Well, that's why I didn't get there.
Yeah.
I drove up to Bohemia, I think is the name of it. It looked too... too bourgeois. Like, I drove up and like it looked really nice inside. I'm like, you're not a brewery. And I walked in.
I don't have a tie on.
I ran away to the next brewery and it was like some grungy little, almost like a storage closet. Like, that's how the place was, tiny as all hell. It was Beguile.
Yeah,
the place ain't big.
Well, Beguile's like doubled. Like they've got big.
Did they?
That Beguile is big Beguile.
Oh Jesus. Small Beguile sounds like small Bee Nectar.
Small Beguile was very, very small.
Did you ever go to Bee Nectar when they first opened?
Mm-mm.
It was tiny. And all of their stuff, I always love saying, all their stuff they got from like Goodwill or Salvation Army. So like the chairs didn't match the table. The chairs didn't match each other.
Sure.
They were just like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Sit down. You're fine.
Was it the same building that they're in, or did they move?
I think so. I don't remember. I drink a lot. That's really my excuse to whatever I don't remember. It was many beers ago.
I drink and I don't care to know things.
That's the thing. I don't know if it was in the old production facility, because obviously the production facility is at a different address than their current restaurant, or not restaurant, but brewery, bar room, tap room. There you go, tap room. So I really don't know if it's the same exact address, but I remember going there when they opened, and I remember Jefferson, which we've had on the show, and he was just like, he was just mixing every single mead. Like, I wonder what this tastes like with this, what this tastes like with this. So he's over at Roke now, actually. You weren't part of the show.
Move.
Oh, he's been all over. He was at Ascension for a bit. I'm trying to think. After Ascension, he was at, what's that growler company in Beverly Hills?
Oh,
Michigan Beer Growler.
Yeah, Michigan Beer Growler. Yeah. I think he was there for a hot minute, and now he's over at Roke bartending. Everybody knows who he is, really. Like, it's crazy that if you go to, like, a lot of the breweries and bars, and stuff, especially if you used to go to Bee Nectar all the time, the giant ginger beard, it's hard to miss him. So,
right.
I mean, he's over at Roke right now. Were you on the show when he was in, or no?
Probably not, because I joined around, I think it was like episode 25.
I was going to say, he was stoned out of his mind eating food on the air, and I had to like keep lowering his mic because you just hear crunch. Because he's not eating anything like jerky. He's eating like chips and stuff. And I'm like,
Doritos.
Yeah, come on,
don't mind me.
Like, I know you toked before you got in here, because nobody has the munchies that desperately.
Right. So you started, when did you start homebrewing?
Maybe 9 years ago.
9 years? What kind of styles, or actually, what was the first first brew that you made?
The first beer that I made was a pale ale, and it was my friend Colin and I started brewing together, and so we called it Acme, which is stands for Adam and Colin's Marvelous Elixir. It was not very marvelous.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Right? Yeah, it sounds good. So we had everything. You know, the brew process went fine. When we threw in the fermenter, we're like, okay, cool. Put the airlock on, and we pushed the airlock all the way through.
Oh!
We're like,
No.
We're like, shit, we got to get it out. How do we do it? We're like, well, we got to sanitize. So we get some tongs, sanitize them. We drop the tongs in the fermenter. We're like, damn it. Okay, what else? Get a longer set of tongs and another set of tongs to hold those, sanitize them. Everything goes into the bucket. And we're like, oh, no. Because we're drinking, obviously. And we're like, how do we do this? And we're like, just looking at it like, I don't know how to solve this problem. So finally, I just dumped a bunch of sanitizer on my arm. I just went right in there, pulled it all out, top on. Like, okay, well,
I mean, that probably threw the flavor off a little bit.
Actually, you know, we bottled it and we're like, oh, this tastes like beer. It's,
I mean, you could have called it maybe like the Tong song for all the tongs that you put in.
Tong.
That's what I was thinking. But you can't spell that or read that out.
Yeah,
it has to just, you know, play with it. But that's all I heard too. Is Tong to Tong Tong Tong. As everyone keeps going.
Right. Now I just got through making my first homebrew, and it is as Ken is trying to get your attention. I tried to make a Pliny the Elder clone, which I had my first bottle last week, and I don't know what Pliny tastes like, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't taste like that. I guess I'll have to bring it in next week. So that you guys can try it, but
Pliny's all right. It's overrated.
I think it's what I made is far too malty to be anything close to that.
Oh, I probably love it.
I'll let you try.
A malt forward IPA.
I kind of felt like, you know, I went through the instructions and I did everything I was supposed to do. The siphoning part was probably for whatever reason was
hard.
It was tough and just. And I love watching the videos where it's like, you need to do this with two people. I was like, you know what? IKEA tells me to put shit together with two people. You know what? I do it by myself and it works.
That's because one person's supposed to have the wine glass.
Right.
The...
I'm a grown up. And, you know, I went through that siphoning process and just, you know, I don't know what the hell happened. But, you know, I guess you're supposed to get something like 48 or some bottles out of a 5-gallon, you know, batch. Right. I got something like 34.
And a really drunk night.
I was not even drinking.
That could explain the maltiness. We should try and get a bottle so we can do side by side.
Yeah. Now, like I said, I'll bring those in. If anybody out there is listening, whether you know, send some Pliny.
Send us a bottle.
Tweet us. You know, get us on Twitter, Instagram, and we'll come to you. Don't worry.
One of the best gadgets you can buy as a homebrewer for like $8 is an auto siphon.
Uh huh.
So you just hook your tube up and you can just pump it.
Yeah.
And then you're not futzing around with water and trying to do this dance, and you can just – it's three pumps and it's going.
Mm-hmm. Now, with making that first batch and drinking that bottle and feeling, you know, this never-ending cycle of hopelessness, what made you to you know, go in and say, you know what, I can do this better, or I can make – let me make something else and just, you know, get out of that wave of discouragement and just say, you know what, the hell, I'm going to just do it again.
I think it's mostly cockiness. I guess I should back it up. So that was the first batch that I made, and my roommate Colin, who I brewed with, before that he got the Mr. Beer kit for Christmas.
Had that, yeah.
Which is just open this can, boil it, put it in a bottle like it's something. And so we just started getting it, like, really into craft beer together. And he came over one day. He's like, hey, I made my own beer. I got it. Like, I brought one. I'm like, oh, let's drink it. And I was like, what's it called? It's called Thunder Bitch. And we're like, that's the best beer name. And we drank it, and it was awful. Like, it was just like we had three sips, like, this is disgusting, and we dumped it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, we can do better. And so that was our first batch, which was the Acme Pale Ale.
Yeah.
And that was – it tasted like beer, but it wasn't good. And we're like, we can do better. You know, that was a big jump. We can do better than that. And you know, we slowly got better.
I mean, the only way to look is up from awful,
right?
I mean, yeah.
You would think
on a scale from, you know, Thunder Bitch to good,
right?
It only gets better
to Thunder Chick. Yeah, right. I mean, I guess it's tough for me because now I'm thinking about making that second batch and thinking about, you know, the whole process. You know, the brew went fine. It's that whole fermentation bottle process. There's like, oh my god, this takes 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, it's like when I'm baking, I can make a cake and then just try it that day and be done, as opposed to making a beer and you have to sit there and wait up to, you know, roughly 2 months before you crack that thing open and then try and think back, okay, what did I do to screw this up? And now I can't remember. So here I go trying this again.
That's how you're supposed to take notes when you're homebrewing. So you keep track of everything that you do so you know what mistakes you may have made.
Rookie mistake.
I was going to say, I haven't even homebrewed, and I know that.
I just followed the damn instructions.
It didn't say get a piece of paper and a pen?
No,
anything about notes.
Damn you, Northern Brewer.
Who was the one that was talking about treating beer like a school. Like they were doing all the notes and stuff. We had a guest on here, and I can't think of it, but they were talking about how – that's probably how I know that. Like I'm sounding like I'm cocky and arrogant here, but I know that from a previous guest.
Is that Brugiver?
It might have been the Brugiver, where they were talking about how they would take notes for everything that they did just so they paid attention. Now I know exactly who it is. It's Will Wheaton.
Oh, Wheaton?
If you ever seen Will Wheaton make his Woot Stout with Stone and like all his homebrews and stuff, he has this pad of paper of everything that he does so he knows what he did to remake a beer. Mm-hmm. So as I'm thinking, it's somebody that we had. We might have had somebody on our show do it, but yeah, it's Will Wheaton.
Like some note where he sanitized and all of a sudden an arm hair fell off. And
hey, no, I was gonna say, arms are fine for beer. You can put your arm in beer. It's okay.
Yeah, as long as you sanitize.
Yeah, it's good.
I could just imagine that.
That's what we do over at Great Lakes.
I can
that's what you just stir with your arm.
Stir with the iron. Yeah, there's no paddle or anything.
Yeah, no, we don't
it's just
do
the open finger method.
You know, we're old school. We've been around 29 years.
Dude with like
years.
These huge shoulder muscles, and he just sits in there.
Just one twirls. Shoulder is
just one shoulder.
Baby,
that's right. He's the guy who shows up in the picture and says, "Don't forget arm day." Yeah. It's just that one.
But
guy.
It's just one arm. It's like 6 inches long.
It's not arms day. It's just arm day. So does Great Lakes have any major like beer releases that happen every year? Like, you know, you talk about a lot of these breweries and they have their, you know, New Belgium's got La Folie, Sierra Nevada is pretty much their beer camp release every year. Utopia's for Sam Adams. You know, what does GLBC have?
So we've been around, like I said, it's our 30th anniversary next year. Mm-hmm. We like our kind of classic styles and we, you know, we have a seasonal about once a month. We don't have a ton of like crazy like, you know, hype train releases. We do some cool stuff at the brewery. So we do a few barrel aged things. So barrel aged blackout is probably the biggest barrel aged Christmas ale.
I was gonna say I like your Christmas ale.
I think that
intrigues me.
Christmas ale is probably the biggest in terms of like people freaking out.
What's your biggest in regards to like your flagship beers? Like what sells the most between like. On premise, off premise, kind of.
So Dortmunder Gold is our biggest seller overall as a brewery.
That's a pils, isn't it?
It's a Dortmunder.
Dortmunder, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I only distinguish because we also have a pils.
Gotcha.
But Edmund Fitzgerald is our biggest seller in Michigan.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think why that would be. That's a porter, and there's
a
porter
is
not a
beer.
Well, it's true, but porter is not a big style within even the style guidelines because it's not a. A stout, it's not a pale ale, it's not... it's just weird to think of a porter as your number one seller in the state.
Yeah.
Could be the name.
That's
I'm sure we get a lot of play from that.
A lot of Gordon Lightfoot fans.
Yeah.
I should have put that in the queue for the music during the break.
Play. It's like 12 minutes long.
That's perfect for
it's
one break.
Show.
Yeah. La-di-di-di-di-di-di-di-di. Oh, that's a great song. go on.
Say we, at one of the Royal Oak Fests, actually, so volunteers pour a beer... And a guy came up and he's like, "Ah, you know, I'll often Emma Fitzgerald." And my volunteer goes, "Yeah, that's fine. You have to sing the song first." And he didn't realize that there was an actual song. And so he's like, "Oh, okay. Edmund Fitzgerald is my favorite beer to drink." And just like for 45 seconds, we just let him go. We're like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
This is where like living in a day and age where everything has a camera that you wish you had out.
And so we're like, you're like, yeah, you get two. You're the best. And he came back later for something. He's like, "Oh, I have a Conway's." We're like, "Okay, here you go." And he's like, "Do I have to sing a song?" We're like, "No, man, you're good." He's singing enough songs for today.
So, I mean, as far as Ohio is concerned, obviously, you know, not too long ago we had the legislation change where, you know, beers over 12% can be made in the state. And how has that changed your guys' profile and, you know, affect all of the craft brewers around you?
It hasn't really affected us at all. We don't do a lot of huge beers. I'm trying to think of what our biggest beer is. None of our year-round releases are over 10. So we don't really, you know, we're kind of a, I don't say safe, but we're just sort of a classic traditional brewery, which is kind of fun to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm looking at your beer list right now, and you could see a lot of them at the, because I think it was anything under 12 was good, and you only have one beer that's apparently over 12, which is a brandy-aged Lake Erie Monster.
Right, which I'm sure was a public exclusive. I've never seen that beer.
Yeah, it has four ratings from July 27th, 2013. Because when I think of drinking, I want 14% beers in July.
Damn right. Hey, that's perfect. A lawnmower.
That is lawnmower. Remember, every beer is a lawnmower beer as long as you're mowing your lawn.
It's a session.
Just like every beer is a session beer.
Session brandy.
Exactly. Which
Lake Erie. Sounds great.
So Lake Erie Monster is one of your beers, correct?
Yes.
Or what is it?
It is a double IPA. It'll actually be out, I was going to say next month in June, but it's June. So
you didn't
bring
any today?
It's not out yet.
Darn.
I don't have any. I know how much you love IPAs.
Especially double IPAs.
But I didn't. Although that one is the most malt-forward IPA that we have.
I did find I have a four-year-old bottle of Devil Dancer that I want to crack open soon.
Oh, man.
So I had Devil Dancer. So when I started this show, and we talked about it a few times on this show, Devil Dancer, it was the first time I ever had it. I was at Founders on the release day, and I didn't even know it. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll buy it, whatever. You know, $20 for a four-pack.
Sure.
So buy it, bring it home. And the first day I drink it, and I have, like, that overly committed beer bitter face, that, like, squeezing your whole mouth because it just tastes so bitter. It took me almost 2 hours to finish one bottle of beer. Like, I couldn't even stomach the amount of bitterness. And then I had it a year later, kind of like what I do with Hop Slam, except Hop Slam isn't that bitter in the first place.
No.
And it was so good 1 year later.
You might like Lake Erie then. It's pretty malt.
Well, we'll have to next time that when it comes out, you'll have to sneak a bottle over here one day before we go live.
We'll be pouring at Summer Beer Fest.
Summer Beer Fest.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Oh, over at Royal Oak.
Yeah.
Royal Oak Summer Beer Fest.
Not the big one.
Not the Michigan Brewers Guild.
Not the big one. I see.
I was just like my eyes lit up. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Tell anyone I'm from Ohio.
it was already a big deal that they kept Founders in the Brewers Guild. So I'm like, they could never bring an Ohio brewery in there.
You never know.
They won't know. It's Great Lakes. It makes sense to be in Michigan.
I get that every single day. People are like, oh, Great Lakes, where are you from? I was like, oh, Cleveland. Like, Cleveland, wait. Michigan? I'm like, sure. Yeah, let's go with that. Because there's so many Michigan-only bars and restaurants. I'm like, yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah,
I just sneak in. And then it's like a year later, like, you're from Cleveland? You didn't tell me? And I was like, I told you.
The Great Lakes are there, too. It's not just because, you know, a lot of them are around Michigan. Yeah. There are still a few more that are just a little off to the east. So the brewery itself, is it a tap room? Is it a production-only facility?
So we've kind of taken up a couple blocks, I guess.
Okay.
The tap room's super cool. You should definitely check it out. It's the building's a million years old. It was a brothel. It was a hotel. It was a bar. The original bar is still there. Elliot Ness used to drink there. So we have our amber lager is called Elliot Ness. The legend is there's actually a bullet hole in the bar back. Where someone took a shot at Elliot Ness.
Oh.
Our brewery is owned by two brothers. Their mother was Elliot Ness's stenographer. So we've got some cool connections.
A little history going on in there.
I was trying to figure out, because I was in Cleveland a couple years ago, and I'm like, how come I didn't go? And you guys are closed on Sundays, which is why
we are closed on Sundays, yeah.
Because I was in Cleveland for Johnny Manziel's first start.
Sure.
And I was in Market Garden, which is a little area where there's a couple nano breweries over there, including the Market Garden Brewing. And yeah, just watching the faces of all the elated Browns fans go from happy to just sad, 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 pissed off.
Same old Browns.
It's Cleveland.
It's so sad they retired the jersey, though, the quarterback jersey.
Oh yeah,
with all the names on the quarterbacks.
I mean,
it
was just getting too long. I mean, by the time,
well, they had what, three this year, different starters.
But I mean, by the time they finish with this decade, I mean, the thing might as well just be a train on a wedding dress.
All right, well, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna reset. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode 86. Time flew by, but we are here. We are drinking beer, and I have a Great Lakes Brewing can in front of me.
You're welcome.
How did that happen?
It's we've been trying to do cans for a long time, and just didn't really know how to do it. The problem at our brewery right now is we're kind of shoehorned into this old building, and we're pretty much maxed on space. So we're like, do we move some stuff out? Do we, you know, can we fit a line here? Can we rent a line? Can we contract? Can we go here? And so we finally ended up with a partnership with Harpoon Brewing out of Boston. And we looked at some other places, and they similar size company, similar values, family owned. Actually, the Boston water profile is very similar to Cleveland, so not a lot of tweaking. And they had some extra room, so we partnered up with them.
So this is like, when should we start seeing these on shelves?
Right about now. They
right about now.
They rolled in on trucks last week, so they should be popping up any second now.
See, I just wanted to feel special. Like, I got it before everyone else.
You're still pretty special. You know, they came, I think, actually in this area last Thursday the truck came in. So.
Okay.
So if you didn't have room for it, why did you guys want to can so bad?
Cans are cool.
Mostly.
Cans are cheaper.
Yeah. They're better for the beer. They're fun. And, you know, we're sort of an outdoorsy kind of brewery and
It's just like keeping up with the times.
Yeah, basically. And like I said, we've been trying to do it for years, and it sort of came to a boiling point, and we're like, oh, let's Harpoon will do them.
So speaking of canning, did you guys see the video of the Budweiser cans being made? That was a
way to be going into my
in
first
China.
Story.
Yeah, is that your first story? I thought I looked at your thing. I didn't see it.
That is my first story. Titled
"Fake It Till You Make It."
Fake it till you make it.
Rob with the news.
Yes, going into the news, brought to you by Zatuna Liquor.
Over on, go listen to that show, by the way, that 3-hour show that we did with Jack Zatuna. Guy has a story for everything, great guy. Zatuna Liquor, Rochester Road, just south of M59, full-on liquor store, beer store, craft beer store, wine, booze, soda, cigars, anything that you need, he probably has it. And if he doesn't, he will get it for you.
I'm right.
And tell him Better on Draft sent you, and you might get something. I think he said he was going to try to give something to people.
I thought he did, yeah.
But we drank a lot that night. Ooh. So
yeah, we may need to go back to the episode to figure out what it was.
Just say you heard it from us, and he might hook you up.
I thought it was 10%. I couldn't remember.
I don't remember. It's anywhere from 0% to 84%.
I think it was
83%.
Yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
Not on Great Lakes, though.
Not on Great Lakes.
Some restrictions apply. Let's throw it in there. It was some information that was released this week about little sting that was ran last month. Underground factory in China was busted, basically taking cans, empty cans of Budweiser. Cleaning them, you know, at least they're recycling, but cleaning them and then filling them up with their own brew, recapping them, and then selling them to bars and distributors alike. They basically had a machine with a conveyor belt that was putting out around 600,000 crates. Not sure how much that's going to be in barrels, but you can just imagine that's a lot. And, you know, just putting this stuff out there. Obviously, like I said, it got busted last month, and you know, according to you know a couple other things that I didn't even know that ABI basically has something like 14 different breweries out there in China alone, and they pretty much sell Budweiser at somewhere around 8 times the amount, I think, just in price of the local China breweries. So it's just kind of like, what the hell? Why is somebody just wanted to, of all things, you know, for us, obviously we get quite a bit of it.
Do we have a lot of Budweiser in the U.S.?
I would imagine they have quite a bit.
what's that word you're saying?
Budweiser?
I meant America.
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 Oh, sorry, yeah.
Those are only the tall boys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rather funny, but even on if you look at the link, there is video that apparently the workers took of them cleaning the cans, filling them up, and I think.
But they do it with like open hand, like they literally scooping it out as if it's like a glass into like a thing of water. So they scoop out the beer and then put it on the conveyor belt. So it's the furthest thing from sanitary either. As much as alcohol kills things, I don't even know if that's alcohol in there.
Right.
It's fake beer.
But I mean, apparently they were running, might have been running this for a while, because you know, to put out that much production, I kind of wonder, you know, is it better?
is it better than Budweiser?
Did ABI come in and just say, all right, we got to shut this shit down because you know they're killing us on quality? I wish I knew.
I'd like a side by side.
Yeah, I want a side by side of this. I want to know, you know.
Maybe it was Budweiser, but it was Budweiser.
You'll never notice. Yeah.
And from the world of Bruce Lai. What the?
Well, that's, you know, in regards to China, China has, from what I hear, like 30% of their alcohol trade is fake alcohol. So it's like real alcohol, but fake brands. So fake Budweiser, fake Bombay Sapphire, fake Jack Daniels. So all these things are, you know, fake. I'm trying to think of the word that, like, when you buy, like, a fake pair of Nikes.
Just knockoffs.
Knockoffs, yeah. Like some, well, knockoffs is more like bikey or
Captain Horror.
Well, that's, a lot of those are Mikey. They're like Jack Daniels with like two S's.
Jack Daniels with a Z because they're edgy.
Yeah.
Or his twin brother Jeff Daniels. Yeah, wait a minute. Exactly. I mean, that would be dumb and dumber to sell that.
Right. Oh.
Too soon?
No. No, never too soon.
He's like, still alive.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Outside of that, there was another interesting thing. I was kind of going through this today because actually I read about it last week. I didn't get a chance to get to it again until today. But craft breweries in Texas are going to be in, I guess, a bit of a battle with legislators as there's a new bill that is waiting for the governor to sign. So House Bill 3287 was passed by the House and the Senate, and that states that any brewery who produces more than 225,000 barrels of beer per year must sell their beer to a distributor and buy it back if they want to sell it in their tap rooms.
Boo.
That's dumb.
I love the three-tier system, and I still say boo.
Like I said, it passed both House and Senate. It's sitting on Governor Abbott's desk to sign. But basically, the House rep that put this bill forth, he says that it's designed to protect smaller breweries from larger beer companies and help create a barrier of bigger brewers from gaining too strong a hold on the local market. One of the local, obviously smaller breweries, came out and said that, you know, it's not about big beer coming in and buying smaller breweries, that it's more about being a brewery and being told your growth has a limit. Also says that this particular owner, I believe his name is Wim Benz, because, you know, I guess that's how people get Texas get named.
Is that Benz with a Z?
No, with an S. Is that so? It's classy, but, you know,
it's not edgy.
Yeah, it's not $740 a month on a lease classy. But he says that should his brewery just grow big enough to actually hit that limit, that he's probably going to look outside of the state. And there were like other breweries that basically said that, you know, it's kind of shitty to want to be a brewer in Texas, and you see that being in states like Louisiana or Oklahoma is a better fit to start a brewery and grow than to be in Texas. So I'm
trying to think of the breweries that this is going to affect. It's obviously going to probably affect Shiner, Red Ale, Gambrinus. And, I mean, is there any other major Texas? Well,
I don't know if it really affected them, because one thing it said was that any brewery that was in operation prior to February 1st was grandfathered in to whatever currently is going on.
So it's going to hinder any new brewery. Well, February 1st, Jesus, that's so 4 months.
So 4 months ago.
So any brewery that's open from February 1st and before, I mean, that's a hard thing to really, because you ain't going to 225 in any time soon.
No one's going to 225 no. anytime soon.
And especially in Texas, when Texas has a huge battle in regards to Constellation's probably one of the biggest, you know, in regards to Corona selling over there. Mm-hmm. I think Negro Modelo's under the Constellation brand. Might be wrong on that one. Don't know for sure.
Yeah.
But a lot of the Mexican American lager brands, and especially because you're in goddamn Texas. You ain't getting that's the thing we talked about with Dan when Dan was on here. Mm-hmm. You know, he can go walk into a store and buy six cases of KBS like it was nothing. Same with 120, because nobody wants these high ABV beers.
Right. Right.
So when you're competing against such a larger market of not only Bud Miller Coors, but Tecate, Corona, Modelo, all these other brands that are akin to the culture. It's I don't see any breweries getting to 225. Look at Michigan. We were talking before we came in. You got Founders and Bell's. That's it. Over 225. Mm-hmm. GLBC isn't even 225, correct?
No, we're 150, 160.
And you've been here since 89?
88.
88, sorry. Yeah. My bad.
88?
My bad. 29 years. Not 30.
We're old, guys.
Old. And one of the other breweries that was even brought up in one of the articles was Oscar Blues, because Oscar Blues has a tap room that is in Austin. And they are definitely grateful that they are not part of having to, you know, basically buy their beer back, because, you know, Oscar Blues, I believe they are right around 300. So they're very, very happy that they're not affected. But at the same time, you know, a lot of the breweries that are out there are saying, you know, yeah, maybe we won't get to 225. But you're telling us that's our limit.
You're looking at a Sam Adams growth. Sam Adams can make more beer if they wanted to, but they're not going to, because they would be put into a different tax bracket. They would be put into a different tax laws based on the brewery and production. And unless you make like a giant leap from wherever they're at, we'll say 6 million, which is the border between craft and not craft. And we'll say they're at 6 million. They have to get to like probably 12 or 15 million before it's even they change it, because those big brewery licenses are for the big breweries, your Anheuser, your Coors, Miller, Constellation, Ballast Point, those breweries, or conglomerate of breweries.
Yeah,
I really don't see what the point of this is, though. I'm looking at it, and obviously I haven't read the bill. It's just to put it back again. Why go 1-2-1? Like, you're going literally from you to the distributor and back to you.
Right.
Why do you need that step? Unless it's not like you're selling so much in house that it's making a dent in the distribution world. I mean, how much do you guys sell in house in comparison to distribution? A fraction.
A tiny, tiny percent.
And I mean, it might be a little bit bigger for breweries that do a lot of pub only can releases, bottle releases, like your. I'm trying to think of who local, maybe Griffin Claw, like the coffee. Wasn't the coffee only at the brewery and whatever coffee shop they worked
at? And Great Lakes Roasting Company, yeah.
So, and I mean, and those are still small, limited batches to a point where it doesn't really even make a dent in you guys.
And we do that too. Like, all of our barrel aged stuff is in packages is brewery only. But yeah, I mean, it's such a small fraction, and 250,000 barrels is so huge. It feels like, why are people wasting their time making this bill? Like, there's so few breweries in that range.
Well, again, Georgia just signed the law, didn't they, in regards to allowing beer in the – like, creating tap rooms for the breweries. Because Georgia, you weren't allowed to drink at a brewery. You had to do a tour, and then after the tour, you got tasting tokens to taste the beer.
Right.
Which, at that point, they just gave a tour, and then that's how you – the tours every 10 minutes. There's the fermenter, there's the masher, there's the kegs, there's a refrigerator.
Right.
Here's our lovely staff, and they will take care of you now.
And they have beer.
Right. Well, here was kind of one of the interesting things that I came across, was that apparently Texas is the only state that doesn't allow the sale of beer to go from breweries. Hmm. I was not aware of that. So, I mean, should that change? Because I did see it in one article that some representative put that to the floor back in 2015, and it just died on the floor. But, you know, if it gets to a point where, you know, that law changes and everyone starts being able to, you know, sell their crowlers, growlers, howlers, and whatever the hell the other one is, I can't remember, you know, breweries are going
to... So this is draft beer to go, not bottles and cans, obviously.
Right. I kind of feel like, you know, if that goes away, then, you know, breweries are going to get closer to the number. Obviously, it's like you said, they're not, you know, 225 is a long way to go.
It's a top 20 in the country brewery.
Yeah, it's a long way to go. But I think being a brewery and being able to produce more, to have that beer go out the door, but still know that ceiling is sitting up there. I'd say that pisses them all off.
It's discouraging for sure.
Yeah.
I I don't know what – like, I have to read up more into this because it just – it doesn't make logistical sense in regards to why they would want to do this. I would assume that it's some type of lobbying by the distribution channels that are down in Texas. Mm-hmm. But again, you're not even talking about so much beer.
Yeah.
Because, again, even at that point, you talk, again, Gambrius, Shiner, and whatever. I don't even know if they have beer to go at those breweries. I don't even know if their tap room's there.
Yeah.
You know, or you can drink there. That's the crazy thing, too, is that you have a lot of these big breweries, and you can't even drink there.
Right.
And they're just production of, like, Axel for the longest time.
Yeah.
You know, up until tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Tomorrow, that's right, yes.
You can go to Axel over in Ferndale on the Livernois Corridor and go check it out. But, you know, and again, prior to Axel milking it, Mill Street and King Brewing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they never really had tap rooms. They never had anything. It was just production only.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Who
out of ABI's Sab Miller or Coors is going to walk in and say, you know what, Lakeside Brewing, we're going to buy you out, and then all of a sudden we're going to make this huge facility and just put out, you know, hundreds of thousands of barrels of your beer out on the shelves. I mean, you know, if I was the owner and somebody said that to me, I was like, all right, well, you know, you, as long as you show me how many zeros are on that check and I approve, then you know what, the hell with it, I'll do it. But I mean, just what big company is going to make that big of a risk that they're going to put that much beer out there?
No, it doesn't work.
No, and you know what? To be honest, this is going to hurt in regards to any brewery that might want to expand and get distribution channels into Texas.
Right.
Like, say, if Stone wanted to open up a brewery in Texas so that they control the southwest or, you mm-hmm. know, mid America market, so that they don't have to worry about, you know, because they have the East Coast, they have the West Coast.
Yeah.
Now that they have Central, they can get their beer everywhere within 3 days.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it was stuff like that. It was like the Ohio law with the, you know, 12% that stopped Stone from coming to Ohio.
Yeah. Ohio lost so much money, and Kasich was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to fix this now.
Right.
You know, as much as, you know, and you look, we read the Miller Coors article on this show almost 2 years ago. And, gosh, it's almost been 2 years since we started this damn show. You know, we read that Miller article where, you know, Miller's like, oh, we want to promote, you know, drinking. We don't want to promote over-drinking, over-indulging, especially with high-percentage beers. You know, and that's the game they're playing, because even Miller Coors wasn't even in the big craft beer industry.
Right.
They were in the crafty industry with Leinenkugel, Amberbach, trying to think, Killian's. You know, is Michelob's Miller, right?
No, it's Bud.
Bud, sorry. So Amberbach would not be in that, right. But Killian's would be.
There you go.
So, you know, they didn't have as many craft breweries that they owned like Budweiser did. With even just a couple years ago, you still had Elysian Craft Brewers Association. It's always funny when I say that because the Craft Brewers Association is part owned by Anheuser-Busch, which I think we talked about. I think Kona's in that.
Craft Beer Alliance.
Sorry.
Yes, the Alliance.
Did I say association?
That's right. Yeah, Alliance. You did say Alliance. Alliance.
Yeah.
See, my bad. Correct. There we go. Same difference. We all knew what we were talking about.
Yeah. We got it.
So let's.
Kona, it's Red Hook.
let's go to the next one.
All right. Oh, man. This one was funny. So I came across this blog from Hampton Road Growler. It's an internet blog that was from, I think this place
I think it's
is
pronounced Hampton Road.
Hampton Road
Growler.
Hampton Road Growler out of, I think, Virginia or something like that. It was concerning a topic which everyone most likely has a love-hate relationship, and that is, of course, kids.
Do you have any kids?
Not yet. August.
Not yet.
Mid-August, number one.
Oh.
Do we know if it's a boy or girl?
We don't. It's a.
Is that gonna be a surprise?
Yeah.
Or
how many surprises do you get as an adult, really? So that's
12. I can give you a lot. Well, okay. Let's just say I used to have a ring.
I don't know what you guys' life is like, but I don't get that many surprises.
Average 16.8.
All right. Well, I guess all right. We're gonna have one surprise.
And I was gonna
sure.
say, how many surprises have you had now that you have a child?
Yeah.
Rob. Yeah. A lot of surprises.
Wow.
How many times have you thought they took your beer too?
It's not only just child, it's children and it's teenagers. So
there's your problem right there.
It's very interesting to go.
Why can't you just give them up after they're 12? Like, there you go.
It's very interesting to go from nothing to 12 or 11 and 17 at the time. And yeah, it's It's an adventure. It's actually fun.
So what's wrong with kids?
Well, apparently, you know, more and more children are becoming staples of breweries across the country. And the question is it okay to have kids around in a setting where the majority of the people they are surrounded by are drinking alcohol? There was one note or actually one part I was going to quote out of this blog. It basically says, much of the opposition to children in breweries comes from people who liken breweries to bars. While both serve alcohol, local breweries have embraced the European tradition of pubs and beer gardens as communal gathering places. They are not bars or clubs, which serve liquor, have extended hours, and have garnered reputations as rowdy adult playgrounds. But other people are simply looking for some quality adult time without the noise and distraction of children. Whether they have kids or not, breweries offer a serene environment for adults to kick their feet back and enjoy a few pints. Now, obviously, right at this point, we don't have any kids yet. but what side are you on? Are you okay with kids being in a brewery?
Well, let's start with GLBC. Can kids go into GLBC, obviously, with their parents?
Yes. Yeah, they can. And I'm on board. I have a lot of friends with kids. And actually, I visited some friends in Cincinnati that had kids. And I was like, all right, so, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not that old, so I don't have a ton of friends with kids. And I was like, oh, what are we going to do? And Cincy's like, oh, we're going to go brewery hopping. And I was like, perfect. I'm like, what about the kids? Like, oh, you just bring them. And breweries are great for kids.
There's games. You can play Jenga. There's
games. There's nothing you can break. It's loud. It's usually open. You know, they're not cramped spaces.
It's coloring books.
Yeah. And I think as long as you're watching your kids, like I think actually I read some articles about
that.
Did you
say watching or washing?
Well, either. Well, as long as you wash your kids before you bring them.
Okay.
And then you're watching them while they're there.
Right.
Yeah, I think I read some articles about that situation. And, yeah, as long as your kids aren't destroying things and running around, then, yeah. And we brought our friend's kid, and we played some shuffleboard, and then he took a nap in the stroller, and we drank beer, and it was great.
I'm on the same page. If you're going to anywhere that serves alcohol, you have no right to assume your privacy of quietness or anything like that, especially if they have one TV. Anything more right. than zero TVs, you can never assume. Because if you have one TV, that TV's always on sports or it's on something that's big that's going on at that moment, and you're just you can't get away from it.
No.
So whether if that TV is going to have sports on it, I'm going to be loud. I'm going to cheer for my team, boo for the other team, especially Mariposa. And
mercenary.
Oh God, go Preds! By the way, even though Hossa plays for the Blackhawks, go Preds.
Yes, yes.
So wait, you're Pittsburgh.
No, you can't be Preds.
You can't be a Steelers fan and other like you have
yes.
to embrace the
yes
city.
You can. You know what? I had this
black
discussion.
And yellow.
I had this discussion with my brother when I was out in San Francisco, and we were in the elevator, and you know I said something about you know the Penguins and just you know I just want them to lose, and he said, "What do you mean you want them to lose?" I'm like, "Dude, we're Steelers fans. You root for Pittsburgh teams." It's like
black and yellow.
No. No,
black
I
and
don't.
Yellow, black and yellow. Black
I don't
and yellow.
Root for Penguins.
That should be a song.
We just put a tune to it. By the way, this blonde is 6.5%. Jesus.
6'6". Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. My bad. No, no, I'm one off again.
I meant you're welcome for the beer, not for correcting me. it's a hefty blonde.
But I mean, you know, you work at Brown Iron. You have kids there.
Yeah.
As a drinker and not an employee, because you know it's a restaurant, for lack of better words, too, as much as it's a beer bar.
We're most definitely a restaurant, so there's nothing wrong with saying that. I mean, people come there just for food sometimes, so and they don't drink. I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah, I don't
you guys don't have
that,
a full service bar. You just have beer,
no,
correct?
We have full service.
Oh, I don't remember. I just drink beer.
And I guess I would be on that same side too, because you know. You know, not only if you're just sitting there, you're watching a TV and everybody's being loud about that. You know, everybody is generally being loud in conversation when they're drinking.
Well, and especially for these smaller breweries too, where everything's so cramped to hear you hear three conversations over,
right?
Just because Sally can't keep her mouth shut because she's Italian and loud, and
God
not only talks
it,
with
Sally.
Her mouth, talks with her hands.
Classic Sally.
So I mean, and also I mean, there are other times when you're doing stuff like you know hosting Sporkle Live Trivia. There are other, you know, locations where you're hosting trivia, and there are parents who are having beers and they bring their kids, which, you know, pretty much sometimes prompts other people to name their team names. You brought a kid to the bar, which, you know, kind of makes them feel a little
again,
embarrassed.
Though, if you're
just
not,
just bring the kids.
That's also, just bring the kids.
That's
We're
also
not
funny.
Not even
though.
Having that many kids anymore, so just bring them. Who cares? We don't have any coloring books or crayons, but they can still come.
You don't have a kids menu or anything for them to color over?
It's just a part of the regular one.
Oh,
the
kids menu.
Here's the thing. Bring all the kids you want. Let them be loud. We have a loud place, but you should bring your own crayons.
That's kind of one of the things.
BYOC.
BYOC. But who is it? Kenton Brew Works. Because Kenton Brew Works, they have coloring, you know, during, you know, some of their days when people are in there. It's for kids. It's for adults.
So hopefully they don't have adult coloring books there.
Right. Oh, I'm sure they do.
I found out
that was a thing.
Yeah.
That's been a thing. I remember an article I heard about that on NPR probably about a year ago. That was another place. Cultivate.
Very Cultivate. Vulgar, coloring books.
But Cultivate in Ypsilanti. I mean, they have everything from coloring books to cross-stitching.
They have knitting.
They have knitting. Yeah. I mean, they do so many different things, and it is such a communal place that, you know, everybody is either drinking beer, they're drinking coffee, or, you know, listening to live entertainment, but they have kids in there.
And that's the thing is that as I was a kid, I went to the bar all the time with my dad because my dad would go play softball, and then, of course, they'd all go to the bar, and I would get, you know, that's why they have arcade games at the bars. Think of every old school 1990s bar out there. Yeah. They always had arcade games, just the same as bowling alleys and stuff. Like, I get dragged along Friday nights to my dad's bowling league, and all the lanes are taken, so I can't bowl. So, of course, I play video games.
Yeah,
that's how I got really good at Tekken 2 with Eddie Gordo.
That's cheating.
That's not cheating.
It's cheating.
If you know how to use the capoeira, it's not cheating.
No, you don't. Secondly,
the toughest
guy
to defend.
No, that's where I learned to drink is family friendly bars. You know, the kids menu is a 3-ounce Bud Light, and
when you were 21.
No, when I was like 7. That's, you know. it's not real.
I'm just joking. I was 8. Yeah.
No,
I was 8.
I was 9.5, easy.
Oh my goodness.
I was almost double digits.
So you went to Eastland. Where was your bar of choice when you were down there?
I guess my shout out would be to PT's.
PT's, okay.
They on Monday nights used to have $3 pitchers, $4 premium pitchers. So it was a $3 Bud Light or $4 Two Hearted Guinness, Dead Guy, Oberon.
I remember going there.
Yeah, and I was like, $4 Dead Guy.
I always did $4 Guinness.
It's amazing. There's no way they're making money on that.
No, they're making money on everything else that they sell and getting people back on days that aren't Monday.
Right.
That's the whole point of the bar is you sell for karaoke and then they're like, you know what, let's go on Saturday night for whatever.
So yeah, right. PT's was probably my favorite. secondary goes to Burgerama at the Riff.
Burgerama. They just opened up a brand new burger joint behind the Jersey Mike's, and I'm trying to think of the name of it off the top of my head. Campus Burger. Somebody on another show always calls these types of burgers gut bombs.
Okay.
Greasy as all hell.
Gut bombs.
Their biggest time is like from 1 to 3 a.m. is when they're like swamped with people. Because everyone's, you know, sobering up for the night.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been drinking 3-ounce Bud Lights from the kids' menu. And they need a burger.
That's just too funny. Rob, let's do one more before we take a break.
All right, one quick one, courtesy of NASCAR. Apparently they are, one of their locations is getting into the craft beer business as far as selling it. In terms of the Charlotte Motor Speedway, couple weekends ago when they had a race, there was their own licensed craft beer that was featured in the stands from, I'm going to hopefully say this right, Carabas Brewing Company?
Cabarrus,
whatever.
I don't know. I just made that up.
All right. That's fine. It's called their 600 Ale. Among other food options, you know, they were going to have let me start it over. Like, among other food options, leaders in NASCAR have been working to make racetracks into more attractive hangouts for casual and hardcore fans alike. And they're the Track's food partner, Levi Restaurants, launching a new food options this year, created a Shock Top beer-infused bratwurst, which is not craft. And
thank you. Because that matters.
It does.
That does matter.
And Atlanta Bakery Delights by Dawn created an alcohol-infused cupcakes that will that would also be for sale. One of the things I always think of is that in the world of NASCAR, you know, Budweiser is king, basically. And we see it all the time where, you know, Bud, Coors, Rolling Rock, you know, those are the people who are in the stands. You know, does craft beer have a chance, you know, basically have a seat at the table when it comes to, you know, NASCAR racing?
Did we talk about LCA when we were on here when they announced the Budweiser deal?
I don't think so.
So I'm going to kind of we're definitely going to go over a little bit, but I have to bring this up because a lot of people got so upset in regards to LC because, again, Michigan's got so many good breweries out there. Founders, Bell's, Atwater, you know, New Holland, Brown Iron Brew House, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan.
There it is.
Ew.
North Center Road, just south of the Baseline. Go check it out. Say hi to Kevin and the gang.
Which has a full food menu now.
Ooh,
they have full food service.
Yes, but only at a specific time.
Yeah, but they still have it.
They have it, though.
Thank you.
So, I don't know. That pizza next door is really good, though. And they have the cigar bar across the street. So I remember drinking a few and then walking to the cigar bar and having a nice cigar.
Nice.
Sounds really good tonight. Anyways, So LCA, Little Caesars Arena, signed a contractual deal with Budweiser to make the Budweiser tent, the Goose Island tap room, and the Bud Light Beer Garden, I think is the name of the three.
It's an oxymoron.
Bud Light Beer Garden?
Yeah.
Why is it an oxymoron?
The Bud Light Hydration House.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I might as well just strap a camelback on my back and just say, fill it up.
I mean, I'm in for that. And as long as Rave has a tent inside LCA, I'll be fine. Because I went, and I don't think you might have heard about it. I think these two know. I was drinking for $11 22-ounce pours of Unibrew's Le Fun de Mun.
I heard.
Oh, man, I got hammered watching wrestling. And we were up at the top of JLA, and I've got size 14 feet, so going up those steps at JLA, I'm scared for my life, especially going down right. In my inebriation.
Yeah.
But again, like in regards to, like, there are a place and time, but you're not going to get the money to put up for this type of thing. You know who might can get the money? Oscar Blues Holding, because I think there's a hedge fund behind Oscar Blues Holding.
Right.
Dogfish Head, which has a hedge fund that donates into Dogfish Head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these breweries, Founders, which has San Miguel money.
The brewery now.
The brewery.
Out of California. Yeah, but they're behind the hedge fund.
Yep. Yeah.
But again, you have all of these breweries, and they don't have the money. They don't. You can't bitch at Budweiser for putting their money down because you know damn well Bell's can't afford that. You know Founders can't afford that. And it's not necessarily even affording as much as what's their ROI on it.
Right.
Because
right.
Founders needs an ROI. Budweiser yeah. doesn't.
No.
Budweiser's making their money no matter what they do, but they're going to put their name on it because they can.
Yeah.
And even though they choose Goose Island, like if there was a Michigan brewery owned by ABI, we'd all be embracing it. If it was the Goose Island, you know, if it was the, I'm trying to think of the New Holland. That's the Pabst one, right? Yeah, New Holland.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if Pabst bought it and then they put New Holland's name on it, you know, everybody would be like, oh, great, New Holland. Woo. But just because it's Budweiser, it gets shit on. So you bring it back to NASCAR and you know, first of all, the people who watch NASCAR, their drink of choice is not craft beer. And trying to bring people in, sure, you can bring the craft beer, you can bring the infused cocktails, you can bring all this stuff. Because if you've ever seen live racing before, it's awesome. Like the how fast it goes and how crazy it is. And you think it's boring because you're waiting for this line of, like, you know, line of left turn, left turn, left turn, left turn.
Right.
It's still very entertaining to watch. And I think once you watch it once, like we got the Grand Prix going on this weekend.
Yeah.
And that's bringing a huge point to where it's still going on and it's pissing off all the what's a good word for those hipster douchebags in Detroit.
It didn't feel like you had to search that hard.
No, I didn't.
I felt like you had it on deck.
Oh, are you kidding me? I wrote this speech 3 weeks ago. No. you have all those they're complaining. I'm like, first of all, only half the island's closed. It's only for like 2 weeks because you got the prep and the teardown.
Yeah.
But you have it for the rest of the time. Just let all these – the eyes come on to Detroit. Bring more people. Bring people into the city. Now when you go watch whatever Formula One channel that's going to promote it, they can be like, oh, yeah, we did this in Detroit. We did this in Detroit. We talked about this in Detroit. We stayed at this hotel. Why are you trying to, like, hone in on a city you want to be rebuilt? You know, you can't just be like, no, this is mine and I don't want anybody else.
I lived in Detroit before anyone else knew about it.
Well, that's
I lived in it before it was cool.
Yeah, I'm 23.
That's the thing, though, is that everybody wants to own that, and you can't. You can't if you want a rebuilt city. Look at Pittsburgh right now.
If you looked at
Pittsburgh 20 years ago and how smog-filled piece of shit town that was, and no offense to Pittsburgh, but everyone in the city is going to agree with that statement, and you look at it now, it's two completely different cities.
Definitely.
And how they rebuilt, that's what Detroit should strive to be, as I spit a little. Detroit should strive to be what Pittsburgh is now. It should strive to embrace businesses coming in. You know, we talk about all these businesses like Anheuser-Busch and, you know, they're bringing out the small guy, yet we celebrate Nike and Moose Jaw coming into downtown or Shinola or all these other companies.
Right.
You know, you can hold on to your Detroit favorites, your Faygo, your Better Made, your Detroit beers, your Atwater, Motor City Brewworks, Traffic Jam and Snug. But sooner or later, it ain't going to be the little guys that are bringing in the people. It's the big guys.
Right.
And that's why the big guys go to LCA and donate the money and put the money up. And therefore, now you have a beautiful stadium that's almost done.
The Pizza Arena.
The Pizza Arena.
I think it's called Hockey Hockey.
So, again, LCA is not dumb. The Illich family isn't dumb. They're going to put craft beer in there. They're going to sell it for the same, if not more, than they did at Joe Louis. Mm-hmm. And they're going to make money hand over fist because they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And if that means they have to take money from Budweiser to sponsor the Budweiser Beer Garden, that's great. That doesn't mean that the Rave tent's not going to be there anymore. I'm assuming it's Rave because I'm assuming that they're going to keep their contract with Rave.
Well, so I don't distribute through Rave, so I'm not sure what the Rave contract is. But I've seen a lot of whispers saying that they're trying to block out other distributors.
Rave is or LCA?
So down there, it's Great Lakes Beverage that sells Bud.
Okay.
So I've heard that and again, I don't know, but I've heard whispers of they're going with Great Lakes Beverage, who has Budweiser and Goose Island.
Nobody knows until the first thing happens.
Yeah, and then they're trying to push out other distributors.
It'll be interesting to see. Obviously, again, you have the Illich family, which has their deals with Comerica too. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, probably one for the other. Excuse me. If they try to do something for LCA, they're going to try to do it for Comerica. And I don't think a lot of people at Comerica, especially because Comerica's got a lot of craft beer there, crafty and craft. So, it'll be interesting. Got a little high horsey, but whatever. That's my show. I could do whatever the hell I want sometimes. So, in regards to NASCAR, again, if you've never seen NASCAR live or auto racing live, go check out the Grand Prix this weekend. Go check out auto racing itself. It's a lot of fun. And then, you know, if you show up wanting to drink craft beer, they're going to put craft beer there.
Damn right.
That's stupid if you don't think they will, because they could charge you so much more for craft beer than they can for Budweiser and make so much more money. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode 86, running around as we are trying to figure out what was given to us. Well, at least it's not a born on date on the bottom. That is a drink by date because it says August 7th, 17 for me. So Matt Busch isn't here.
Do they all say the same?
We have different beers.
I don't know.
Mine says August 7th.
We might all have the same beers.
Mine has a code.
A code? Let me see. So, well,
I mean, I know
like Matt left a bunch of stuff really without instructions, and he said he's going to be listening. So, nonetheless, this is just, I guess, going to be.
It's still going to be five questions.
I guess. Yeah. Do you have the answers? Because I noticed the questions were there, but.
The questions are there, but the answers are not. So, I'm not sure if he assumes that that. You know, we're just going to, you know, ask the questions for ourselves and then just
find out later.
And just he's just going to throw
test,
it.
The test will be graded and returned to you next week.
Right. He's just going to throw it up there on, you know, on our chat windows about what the answers are. But, you know, I guess naturally we're going to start with five questions without...
Without Matt Bush.
Which means we don't get the music.
No, you don't get the music. All right. So apparently, basically, I don't know if there is much of a theme with his questions, but his first two questions seem to be Great Lakes themed.
Oh, boy.
So question number one, within this Great Lake lives a triangle, a weird phenomena similar to that of the famous Bermuda Triangle. Which lake would he be referring to?
So a triangle, the Bermuda Triangle is three countries or three islands, isn't it? Isn't that what constitutes it as the Bermuda Triangle is like a triangle of three islands?
I believe so, something like that.
So obviously I'm going to guess it's – so Lake Superior is the one in the north, which is – I'm going to guess like Lake Michigan just because I think up by like Beaver Island and all those other places, but we don't have an answer. That's the thing.
That's what Google's for.
I think it's Superior. Just I think that's it's where Superior shipwrecks too. Are going to go.
They
down.
Get a Superior, two Superior, one Michigan. The correct answer for that would be Lake Michigan.
Yeah. Wow. Does it say what the islands are? Because I'm kind of curious if it's.
It does not on the sheet, and you know Google is being very slow, so I'm not sure exactly.
Oh well, I win.
But basically, the Bermuda Triangle of the Great Lakes is in
Lake Michigan.
Lake Michigan.
That makes the most sense, though, because there's so many islands up by, like, the Traverse City, Sheboygan.
I just figured it was where most ships went down.
I just think ships went down. I mean, where did Gordon Light – not Gordon Lightfoot. The Edmund Fitzgerald
Lake
go
Superior.
Down.
Lake Superior.
Yeah. Saying, where did Gordon Lightfoot go down?
Where did Gordon Lightfoot
crash? Gordon Lightfoot is still
alive.
Where
did he sink?
And he's real surly. We invited him to our 25th anniversary party. We're like, hey, Gordy, you should come down. He's
hey,
like, yeah. He's
Gordy.
Like, yeah. I'm definitely not going to do that ever. And we're like, okay. Well. Like, okay. So
at least he was honest.
And we're
about
like, sorry, Gordon. So maybe we'll get him for next year.
Like, maybe we'll change the name of the thing though. The Titanic Porter.
Yeah. All right. Question number two. Similar to the mythology of the Scottish Loch Ness.
Well, I got this.
Lake Erie has a water-based beast. With what name?
Oh, what's his name?
What's his? Isn't there a beer?
There's a beer. It comes out.
It comes out
in like 2 weeks.
It apparently it is related to some sort of algae phenomena that happens in Lake Erie around August. A bit of a blue green algae that appears.
I don't.
No, I thought it
is
was.
Is it? Well, I don't. I'm gonna guess it's something like what's the Loch Ness monsters?
I think they call it Nessie.
Nessie, yeah.
I thought ours was Bessie.
Bessie?
Yeah, but I sure is what I know. I'm the Michigan rep. What do I know?
We'll go with Bessie.
Anything, Angela?
Jeez.
No.
She's just like, I need more beer.
I'm gonna go with Slurm.
Slurm. I think that's the wrong Great Lake too.
The correct answer, that beast would be known as Bessie.
There you go. Hey.
Okay, all right, I got one. I'm not a total embarrassment.
All right. I don't know why he has five questions when, you know, the third question is supposed to be the beer. So I guess we need to crack these things open and, you know, I guess attempt to figure it out. Apparently on the package that he left behind the building, a la ransom package, you know, for somebody to find behind it, there is a picture of dude from Saw.
Not Jigsaw.
Jigsaw. Yeah, it is Jigsaw.
No, that's not Jigsaw. Jigsaw is the actual man. That's somebody else.
Oh, well,
isn't that something else?
I don't know. I've never seen any of the Saw movies. It just basically looks like some dude with a Wayne Newton wig on his head. I have no idea. But basically, it is a picture of what, you know, I consider Jigsaw with the words, "For Loco Alert."
So mine's blue.
So
I wonder if you have the Four Loko.
So this being, you know, segment three and question three, let's crack these things open.
I love how you're going to pour it just to make sure you don't have.
Oh, I'm pouring it to make sure this shit ain't blue. And, you know, mine is very.
Mine's clear.
Yeah, mine is very, you know, yellow beer right now.
So tell us your tasty notes of the Four Loko.
God,
I mean, you're going
as
for your
around.
Yeah, this is isn't wouldn't it be considered like a malternative?
No, this is gross. I'm
alternative.
Yeah, malternative. That's the official name for like not your father's and not your mother's.
It smells weirdly pepperminty, but also like windshield wiper fluid.
peppermint windshield wiper fluid.
Also to note to Matt, since he is listening live, there were four cans, all of them wrapped in blue painter's tape, except for one can that has blue painter's tape. And the
black electrical tape?
The top half of it is of one can is wrapped with black electrical tape, which is the one that I have. Which, you know, I don't know if that's going to, you know, bring about any points of disappointment to Matt, but that is the one that I have.
So I think the three of us have the same beer, and I think you have
it's not a beer.
The windshield wiper fluid peppermint.
It's not good. Although to be fair, it's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, I don't like it, but it's not.
So I would assume then, you know, with the Four Loko alert that must be.
Is it like an OG like, Four Loko?
No,
it might be just like.
What? No, I still need to pick that up for Rob.
It's a 16-ounce can. The OGs were 24s.
Good Lord, it's just I can see just the edge of that can, yeah. Just seeing nothing but just you know Smurf.
It's great. Yeah.
No.
I'm gonna have a good day.
Yeah. Well, better than me.
the show just ruined my night.
To be honest, I think as I'm trying to get a peek and I still haven't gotten to it, but I guess this
pretty much. I mean, obviously, someone needs to know what this is.
Yeah, we can't ask questions.
We can't ask questions. So I'm going to take the electrical tape because I'm assuming the can with the electrical tape is you know the teacher's answer key. So.
You're at least the kid that's stealing the teacher's answer key.
Damn right.
Isn't that a TV show or a movie like Harvard or something like that where they try to steal the answer key?
Stealing Harvard?
No, it's not that. So like Cheaters or something like that. So like the entire movie premise is them stealing the answer key at night and then they finally get it and they're trying to study by remembering the answers, and then they're like, screw it, I'm just going to take the goddamn test. And that was the end of the movie. And I'm like, all right, good movie. Not as good. That was back when, like, in the late 90s, like, teenage movies were the thing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, think about, like, all the movies involving high school students at that time, and now you don't see that too much.
Well, they're not good.
No.
The teenage movie, like, the high school movies.
She's All That?
Oh, the goodness. Faculty.
The Faculty.
The Faculty was a good movie.
I feel like I just brought up The Faculty recently because I was talking about fire extinguishers as a weapon. I don't know what my day was like.
What about Teaching Mrs. Tingle?
Ooh.
Oh, forgot about that one.
Where they kidnapped the teacher. Yeah.
With Dame Helen Mirren. That was Helen Mirren,
yes. We're about to say Judi Dench.
I know, I was. We're getting ready to say Judi Dench. I'm like, no, that's not Judi
Dench. It's the only Dame I know.
Right, exactly. Well, I guess we pretty much are starting to just tear this shit off to figure out what the hell this stuff is.
Yeah, I could tell what it was.
Yeah, it's just nothing but nastiness.
It's MGD.
Nothing well, I saw the gold top and I was like, it's High Life or MGD.
Yeah. Well, I don't think High Life comes in cans, does it?
Yeah.
Does it really?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, my roommates were drinking it before I left. But they were only 12 ounces, not 16.
Well, I guess, yeah, you should take off the tape and let's figure out
what. Should I guess what flavor it is? Or
yeah, like, let's figure out what, you know, your alcoholic Sharkleberry Finn you have over there.
I wish you guys had a camera for this because this is a wild color. I mean, this is. That is blue.
Oh,
like it's not
Lord.
It's not a little bit blue. It's
that's like turn your tongue.
It's
blue.
More it's more eating, blue than like, than the painter's tape on the other side. How about that?
That basically looks like what your tongue would look like after eating those American pops. Yeah. Good Lord, that is nasty.
Is this show family friendly? I've got jokes.
We're 21 and up. So okay.
This I'm gonna look like I just blew a Smurf here. Like it's just not.
That's all right. There we go. So let's see if we. Well, it's called blue.
It's called Blue Mofo.
Blue Mofo. Oh my God.
That's on the top of the can.
You know what that kind of looks like and reminds me of? The Faygo Blue Moon Mist.
Yeah.
Oh
that's such a good soda.
I know.
Look at this.
How lucky are you to get that one?
Look at this like snazzy.
That's Rob was the one that distributed it, so he probably.
I mean,
knew
I had no clue.
No, they were wrapped.
I mean, yeah, they were completely wrapped, and, you know, I didn't even notice the one that had the electrical tape until I passed those three cans out. So, oh, yeah, that sure as hell says Four Loko on it.
Oh, sorry, guys. It's the Blue Mofo Bartender Series.
Bartender Series. Oh,
this is the upgraded fancy line.
I mean, pretty much with, like, some sort of design on it that looks like it should be on a Miles Davis album cover, except it's giving the middle finger.
It's like half
upside
Miles
down,
Davis and half, like, a.
Can you pour a little into a glass for me?
Oh, Jesus.
Oof. Oh, good Lord.
What's the ABV?
10.
I was gonna say, yeah, those are pretty just a little like to the shot line.
You guys want some of this?
No.
So Rob,
yeah,
how much would it cost for you to drink this glass of Four Loko?
What you offering?
I'll give you a fiver for it.
Well, I already drank that much. Do I get?
Yeah, no kidding.
I've been sipping on this.
I'll drink that for five.
That's the thing is that you're ready to do it. And he's thinking about it.
No. Five's not going to cut it.
What if I drink it with you for $5? I still pay you $5 and I have to drink it too. It matches the tape.
No, it's brighter than the tape for sure.
Because you'll drink quote unquote infected beers anyway because you don't drain pour anything.
I don't drain pour.
Exactly. So something like that to drain pour. I mean,
I'll give you 10.
You know what? Just bring the damn thing over here.
There you go. Just bring it over. Let's pass this over to Mr. Rob.
God, this stuff is disgusting.
Blue one. You've never had it before.
So are you kidding?
I was looking for the flavor, and I was like, oh, it's going to be raspberry. It's just blue.
It's just blue?
It literally says blue mofo. Bartender series.
There's no flavor profile.
Nope,
it doesn't say what berries
fruits.
Or
nope.
I mean it's alcoholic blue drink. That's what this is. Yeah.
Blue drink.
Drink.
No, yeah, it's like, oh, what do we got? Cola, Sunny D, purple drink.
Right.
Purple
stuff. Like, I want that purple stuff.
Yeah, no, it's blue.
You mean that's probably drink.
It's blue mofo. And it's
blue,
10%.
Blue mofo. Ugh.
Four Loko blue four mofo.
Definitely right, how I thought right. my day was gonna go.
Yeah, I know. All right. Yeah, let me get that. All right. Oh, good Lord. You suck, Matt.
It's not that bad. It tastes like a...
Oh, it's Four Loko. I mean, if you've listened to me drinking Four Loko, I will tell you that this shit is the end of the earth.
But it's dumbed down Four Loko. It's not full-on Four Loko.
So it's got... Have you guys noticed that there's a middle finger on the can?
Yes.
Yeah, upside down. Oh, yeah, it is.
It says, the finger says it all. Blue mofo is not a drink for the timid or shy. No reservations... No maybes.
That's
the description from fourloko.com.
I'm usually a pretty timid person.
Do you guys have more of these? I'm gonna take these.
that's all.
Yeah. Matt, you need to send a message as to where you got this so that Adam can take a couple.
I need
of
to pick
these
some
back
up.
Home.
I'm gonna write the brewery an email. Like we need to make
so let's make a guess. What is the rating on Untappd for Blue Mofo?
People are a little crazy, so I'm gonna say it's probably. Let me. I'm gonna go like full Ed McMahon on this and give it 2¾ stars.
I was gonna say. I was gonna give it like a 2.5.
284.
Oh.
284.
What the hell's wrong with you people? All right.
I don't trust them, Captain.
Yeah, here goes like 0.25, just 1¼ star. Because you know, all right. Fuck
watch,
it.
He likes it.
It's not the worst
drink
I've ever had.
Drink.
It's also like you just drink like an ounce and a half.
Oh my god, that's like if you're drinking like well whiskey face. That's the well whiskey.
No, it's
face.
Not that bad.
It's bad. It's bad.
Well, I can't say too much because that's probably the looks that I give when I drink triple IPAs. Although, you the one that brought the 4,000-pound gorilla or whatever that was from 800-pound gorilla. We had someone that brought it, and I drank it, and it was delicious.
It is like Kool-Aid's Sharkleberry Finn, except somebody put 3 cups of sugar too much in there.
Yeah, it's way too sweet.
It's way, way too sweet. And that's what...
It's like the Wolf Pack, too sweet.
Yikes.
Good Lord.
Yikes.
I mean, I would rather... I'd rather drink a sour... I'd rather drink a sour than that.
Do you not like sour?
No. There's some. There's some. I mean, Perrin has one. They have their cherry sour that's really good. Odd Sides, Electric Pineapple, which when we had Josh on, that was one of the first sours I actually liked. So there's a few that are out there. Just as long as it's just mild on it, I'm good. But, you know, you go full Goza, I'm like, no.
Gozas aren't even that sour.
I don't know what they are for me.
Don't look at me. Once you go as a black.
The greatest name from Ascension. I remember just walking up to that stand, and I flat out told him, I said, I'm going to tell you right up front, I fucking hate sours. But you're going to call something once you go as a black? I got to have it.
So I'd like to plug one of my new favorite breweries, if I could, in Ann Arbor. There's a new brewery called Holmes.
You still have to check them out.
Nick's place.
Yeah. Nick's awesome. Holmes is great.
Yeah, tell him to answer my emails.
I'll let him know. So.
Holmes, we want you on.
Yeah, Holmes, get in here. But they have a beer called Gozapun.
We have from Cleveland, Ohio.
Right.
Great Lakes Brewing, and you can't come on.
But, come on. No, you're county over.
Gozapun is one of my favorite beer names.
Gozapun.
They're just like, yeah, we're done with it. It's Gozapun.
All right. Gozapun. Question number four, we'll call it, even though it's three on here. This bargain supermarket chain has recently launched its own brand of beer with such varieties as Boot Tread Belgian Amber, Wild Range IPA, and Wicked Grove Hard Cider.
Sounds like the names of the Walmart.
Ding in.
Do you have the answer?
He took the bell away.
There you go. She has the bell. There you go.
I'll take one for Walmart.
I was going to say, that sounds like all the Walmart ones, but that's not new. That's been a while.
Well, they also got
bit.
In trouble for it.
Yeah, that's how long it's been out is that they got in trouble for it.
So we're all going for Walmart.
Yes.
Target.
Your correct answer. You can't buzz in and change your answer.
The Can correct, you answer in the form of a question?
The correct answer, because, you know, a bargain supermarket chain, typically Walmart would not be known as a bargain supermarket chain.
Really?
You're correct.
What is it known?
Your
as?
Correct answer
is it the dollar store?
I believe your correct answer would be Aldi.
Aldi.
Oh, I didn't even know they sold beer.
I thought that was an organic place.
Oh hell no. No, they're bargain as hell.
Well, they're bargain as hell. I didn't know they even sold booze.
Apparently they do now.
I know the dollar store sells booze.
The worst beer I've ever had in my entire life. I bought it at a 7-Eleven, and it was $2.69 a six pack. And I was like, "Oh, I have to know what that is."
Is it Game Day?
No, it's not. It's worse than Game Day. It's called Clear Creek Ice.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
I remember buying. Go on.
Oh, I was gonna say I was just disappointed in Trader Joe's. I thought that was the worst beer.
The name
ever
tag.
Had. No, the beer, they had like a $3 or $4 six pack.
Well, they have name tag lager, which is not great.
I will never buy beer from them again.
Clear Creek Ice is Clear the worst beer.
I think
beer
we're gonna have to try to find that.
Off the shelf. Yeah, it was like $2.69 or $2.79 a six pack. And I was like, well, I have to know. And I brought it to a friend's house. We each had like three sips. One, we're like, well, that's horrifying.
Yeah, did you ever try Rowdy, the root beer?
Yeah, Rowdy's pretty bad.
Oh
yeah,
my
Rowdy
god,
is bad. I actually started, like, they've been in my fridge for almost a year, and I started cracking them open and drain pouring them just because nobody was drinking them. I couldn't get rid of them.
The best was that got sold, you know, as the root beer craze was happening, and they're like, oh, we got one. So everyone bought it, and then it got
it was
discounted.
So bad.
They were selling it for like a dollar a case.
Dollar a six
and
pack.
Then people, and then people were trying to mark it up, like, yeah, it's $9.99. Everyone's like, no, we're not.
I had one can of it, and then after that can, I took it to work, and I said, dude, man, you got to try this new root beer. I got another six pack at home. Seriously, you just got to have this. And I just gave it to him.
I think I left like two cans in the studio.
Just throw it away. It's gross.
All right, question number five, last one. We'll just get this one over with. This New York City is home to the crunch of the AHL and Jim Boeheim's orange.
Who's Jim Boeheim?
I don't know any of those words you just said.
Well, the AHL is the American Hockey League, so the crunch is obviously the...
The crunch.
AHL crunch.
Yes.
Like the candy bar.
Sure. I'm sure when they put people up against the boards, that's pretty much the sound that it's supposed to make, as opposed to, you know, being Cronwald.
Cronwald, you ain't on the board. So it's got to be a smaller city. It's not a bigger city. So it's not Buffalo. It's not NYC. Not Albany.
Yeah, Buffalo's not that far away.
What else is? I'm trying to think of college towns.
Well, hence the Jim Boeheim's orange.
Oh, the Cubs. It's Syracuse. Jesus Christ. Now I know what it is, and I'm like, oh, I know exactly what it is. It's Syracuse. Game over. Thank you, Owen.
New York. That's what it is.
So, Great Lakes Brewing, where can they find you? They can find you on Twitter. I think you guys have one for, like, each of your areas, too, don't you? I've seen, like, GLBC Chicago.
Yeah,
and
those don't really get updated. I'd rather just follow the main ones.
GLBC better. Cleveland or CLE? Which one is it? How is it?
I think it's GLBC.
GLBC, okay. Find you on Facebook. Anything coming up in the near future around the Detroit area?
Nothing super huge. Lake Erie Monster is one of our favorite seasonals. That'll be out next week, like 2 weeks, mid-June, which we're super excited about. And Cans.
Yeah, Cam, that was that Lightkeeper Blonde is delicious.
Yeah, it's really nice.
I looked for another one in there. You didn't have it.
Oh, did I? I must have given it out.
I was a little disappointed. Like, I want another one.
That happens.
So that's going to do it. We got about 2 minutes left, and I do want to talk about a few quick things. One, we are giving away two tickets to the Ypsilanti Summer Beer Festival. Head on over to Facebook.com. If you like the photo, which is the pinned post, and you share it, you are entered in to win a pair of VIP tickets to either Friday or Saturday. That is enthusiast entry, so 1 hour early.
Yep.
If we get over 500 likes on that photo, I'm just going to buy another pair and give it away too. So definitely like, share, tell your friends. You know, one of the things I tell people is that just because your friend wins doesn't mean they can't give you the tickets. So get people you like to sign up. Get people you like to like the photo and share it.
You don't even have to be in the state.
You don't have to be in the state. Yeah, we had someone win a ticket proxy.
Was
they
that
were
like
in
Pennsylvania.
Yeah, they're
like
they're in Philadelphia, yeah. And they gave it away. And I'm like, well, you're a really nice friend.
Yeah.
So
send it to everybody.
Don't forget, we are doing a $2,000 scholarship over at Schoolcraft. Sign up for the brewery and distilling program, and you can enter yourself to win one of the three scholarships: $1,250, $500, and $250. That's going to be great. Thanks again to Rich Weinkauf for matching the entire brewery donations that we did. Our sponsors, Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills, Brown Iron Brew House, Washington Township, North Center Brewing in Northville, Michigan. And one thing that I do need to ask all of you guys, if you like the show, even if you don't like the show, even if you think it's the third best podcast after a whittling podcast and some other podcast, don't forget to leave a review on iTunes. Give us 5 stars. It helps us get our promotions out, and it allows us to give away more beer. I mean, we gave away 2 kegs this month, or last month, I should say. We've given away tickets to a bunch of events, so your liking us, your sharing us allows you to win more prizes. Thank you again, Great Lakes Brewing, Adam, for coming on out. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft.
Better on draft.
Have a good night.
See you.